You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hi, I'm Dan Soder.
And I'm Big J. Okerson.
And you're listening to the Best of the Bonfire. Stay tuned to hear some of our favorite moments from this week. You can listen to the Bonfire live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Also, be sure to follow us on all social media at The Bonfire SXM.
Hey, campers, it's Black Lou, and welcome to the Bonfire's Best of the Week. On Monday, Dan was away shooting Billions, airing Sunday, May 3rd, as Joe DeRosa joined Jay in studio. The guys discussed the weird combinations of food that they've seen people eat.
What's the craziest thing your dad would eat?
Oh, dude.
I bet everybody in here's got some nutty thing their father would eat.
Yeah. Dude, I told the first time I ever met Zach Galifianakis, I don't know why this happened, but we ended up drinking in a hotel lobby at Bonnaroo, the last night of Bonnaroo. It was just a few of us. It was the first time I ever met him, and we were telling crazy food stories, and I told this to him. And I'm setting it up that way so I can tell you his response.
So we can know that you know Zach Galifianakis.
I know. We were laughing.
He's my dude.
So fucking hard. I go, my dad used to eat hot dogs straight out of the package.
God, dude. Here's the thing. Technically, it's just a thick hunk of bologna. Honestly, if you've had bologna before, which I have, and I've enjoyed a shitty Oscar Mayer bologna sandwich even in my life, but that's it. It's all it is. It's just a different shape of that, but it... The idea of it is fucking... I'd rather you shove it in my ass than me eat it. I'd rather you bury a cold hot dog in my ass. Man, what a great game show it'd be. Would you rather eat a cold... Would you rather eat a raw hot dog or fucking shove it up your ass?
That's every part of the show. That's the only thing.
That's the only thing.
You just bring on 100 people each week.
And it's
quick answer.
It's 3 hours long every week.
But he goes...
We got a 3-hour block on ABC.
I go, yeah, dude, no shit. My dad all the time, he'd pull them right out of the pack and just start eating them. And I go, he wouldn't even cook them. And then Zach goes, haven't got the time.
Haven't got the time. Oh, that's fucking funny.
Yeah.
That's a pretty weird one,
I feel
man.
Like I've eaten a cold hot dog before.
Ew, you're garbage.
Yeah.
You're a piece of shit.
By the way,
every time we kiss for the rest of our lives, that's what I'm going to taste in your mouth.
I used to almost exclusively eat bologna sandwiches when I was a kid.
I'll tell you what I'll do, Evans. This is my...
Do you say bologna?
No.
Everyone in the room thought you did.
Bologna? No,
only you did, you dizzy son of a bitch.
No, I saw Black Luke get weird over there. I mouthed the words. Bologna.
I'll tell you, this is my trash move, and I still do it to this day. I'll go to the supermarket. I only do it once every few months, but I'll get a hankering for it, and I can't help. I'll go to the supermarket. I'll get the Oscar Mayer package of bologna. A thing of
that's
American...
That's low rent.
But then I'll go and get real American cheese from the deli. White. And then I get a loaf of fucking Wonder Bread, and I do that, mustard. That's it, dude. I'll pound those fucking things, man. No joke.
My stepfather went through a bologna phase when I was younger. We always had a lot of bologna in the house.
I used to eat it so much, and then I just like stopped liking it and thinking it was gross one day.
By the way, not Oscar Mayer bologna. My stepfather started it. He started his obsession with it, and it lasted like, you know, months. It's all those things were like months of like the same thing. And he came out of, I think, the Oscar Mayer bologna, because you only get like 5-6 slices of that.
But they're thick,
they're
bro.
They're thick as shit, yeah. And they taste like you're eating doll legs. But he would get that with bread, and then it graduated on to deli-sliced bologna.
Oh,
like thin, very thin almost. Mm-hmm. Almost like shaved bologna. You know, so he would put and then you'd get into a mayo a little bit on it.
I'll do that. My dad was heavy into bologna, too. He graduated to beef bologna. He was getting German beef bologna towards the end of my staying at home.
This is beef bologna, always.
I didn't like it. It didn't taste right to me. I like the classic bologna, but I'll tell you this.
What's classic bologna?
Isn't it
what's
pork?
In it?
Just, it's like pork-based, pork and chicken-based, and then the beef bologna is like the higher quality, but it's got a funkier taste to it.
My grandfather used to do, I guess it's not that crazy, I never did it, but the beet borscht, where it was just a bowl of purple.
Yeah.
And then he would, and what, all you'd eat, he would take a giant scoop of sour cream and put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately, he was just eating sour cream that would turn purple from the beet. You know what I mean? It wasn't I didn't really get it. It probably doesn't taste
cold,
that gross.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It probably doesn't taste gross because it was just broth, essentially.
The coldness of it freaks me out. There's something about it being cold.
I don't think I'd be grossed out by it, but I can eat it. Gefilte fish would be gross if I didn't like it myself. So
my grandfather used to do sardine sandwiches.
Yeah.
Right out of the can onto the bread and pickled pig's feet.
That's horrific. That's really, really bad, man. That's awful. I don't like hearing that at all. It already made me forget the first thing you said that I had a relation to. Oh, sardines. When I was younger, I definitely ate sardines and didn't think anything about it. And now in my mind, I'm like, who brainwashed me to eat what I can only describe as like a fish with a face on it? Like, it's crazy. Cream cheese and sardines was a very like my grandfather thing too.
Oh, cream cheese with it?
Wow. But I had a friend, my friend Randy Henkin, used to bring, very Jewish, used to bring the school like sardine sandwiches and shit like that. Yeah.
Oh, geez. Really?
Yeah.
I loved them when I was a kid.
It's rough, man, to be cool and eat sardine sandwiches in school.
I can still eat sardines. They don't bother me.
The thing my dad always loved that I can't understand and still hate to this day is unsweetened homemade iced tea.
I like that.
Oh, so gross. It was his favorite.
Yeah,
He didn't even put sugar in it. Just that bitter water. It tastes like rag water.
No, I like that with a little lemon sometimes for lunch with your sandwich or your soup or something. It's nice.
Christine, what did your dad have to have a weird thing,
it's
I'm sure?
It's so gross. And I don't know if it was from like growing up broke or whatnot, but he would do
peanut. Excuse me, a confession. He's like, my breast milk mixed with chocolate. No.
Peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches.
Oh, God damn it.
What is he, a little rascal?
I don't know. I mean, peanut butter and banana I get. And,
yeah, me too.
But I mean, like peanut butter and mayo, and I've never still... I remember thinking, like, I should just try it one time to, like, see if it's something where the flavor combination actually makes sense, but it's just disgusting to me.
If you remember Bert Kreischer's house when we did his podcast, he said the Nanner sandwiches, which is mayo and bananas. And he was like, and he had Leanne go make them for us, or he asked her to go make them for us, and she did, and she brought them out, and it was nothing I've craved ever again until this moment, because I'm starving how we're talking about all this food. It wasn't bad. And the idea of it sounded ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mayo, like...
That's disgusting.
Mayo and fruit sounds weird, but it was fine.
Hey guys, it's Black Lou again, and on Tuesday's show, Salvocano stopped by and asked everyone who they would call first to help survive the apocalypse. Then, John Popper calls in and brings up some very good points on what to do next.
Shit's gonna go down. Apocalypse is happening. You could choose one person from your phone contacts to help be by your side. I don't mean a love interest. I mean, like, who's going to defend
you? Okay, that's what I'm saying. You have to say for what we're going for here. Is this nothing to do? This is pure survival friend?
Post-apocalyptic survival.
Survival friend.
Survival friend.
Okay, because you're going to have to make a few phone calls. You want to travel in a group anyway, but I get what you're saying.
You get one draft
pick. You're picking one draft pick only for survival.
Are you getting someone who's beefed up, who might be able to protect you? Are you getting someone who knows how to start a fire?
In my phone? Good. I'll tell you what. I might surprise you with this. My early
just
thought before I think... No, you just said you didn't say good company. That's a different pick.
Sure.
You said survival in the...
Okay, let's do two. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Survival and then whatever you think you need the most.
Okay.
Outside of survival. Like if it's a love interest...
So there's two people.
No.
Still one person.
It's one situation, two scenarios.
Okay.
So first is who's going to help you survive? They have to be in your phone.
All right. Well, first the other person, not the survival person. Let me say the other person is going to be Christine... Or whatever, chick. And then... One's going to be Christine, right? Because, you know, for eternity and through the apocalypse.
Okay,
or whatever, chick.
Okay, but that's the easy answer. So that's a given. Eliminate any partners.
All right, so I don't have to... Because I was going to say my girlfriend, because I don't want to get in trouble.
Sure, but no, that's silly.
I'll be honest with you, Dan. I really enjoy your girlfriend a lot. I like her a lot, and I know through time of knowing her, I'll get to love her. That's a little early for her to be your pick right now for the apocalypse.
Dude, franchise tag.
I'll tell you what, dude. That wouldn't be her answer. If she was asked behind closed doors,
ooh,
that wouldn't be behind closed doors.
You bitch, you monster.
Behind closed doors?
You bitch, you monster.
I don't know if Christine would say me.
You bitch, you monster.
I can't help her through this business if we're after the apocalypse. There's
I'll
no business to be
exactly
had.
I'll tell you exactly who I'm going to call.
You can't produce in the post-apocalypse.
Big J. Okerson, if I can call anybody on my phone, I'm going to call the bull, Shane Gillis.
Yeah?
I would say...
It's your survival guy?
Actually, my survival guy would be Ari Shaffir.
Really?
Wow.
I think Ari knows nothing.
Because of knowledge of outdoors?
I've seen him take his shirt off and walk into the woods too confidently.
It doesn't matter. He does that confidently because he doesn't care. But he doesn't know. If there's a tick problem, he doesn't have like a great solution. He doesn't bring a bag full of things you would need. I'd go for Sal more for that. Sal's a guy who would have a fanny pack full of like... the kind of cords we would need, the bungees, the whatever.
I keep a bag in my trunk of things that I've never used.
You got
to go. I swear to you, so do me and Christine. We've got a bag of car problem fixers that have never come up on a leased brand new car.
Nor would I know how to apply them myself if I needed them.
Now I'm trying to think.
I can do a tire. I can change a tire.
Ari's strength lies in the fact that he doesn't give a shit. So he's giving you a false sense of
confidence. I'll tell you, he's reckless. I'll tell you, Ari's going to get you fucked up. Ari's going to walk you right and goes, oh, I didn't know. I guess apparently that stuff we slept in last night was poisonous to human skin.
I mean, well, then my boring answer would probably be my friend Joel.
Why is that?
Well, now it just hurts my feelings. Why is he a woodsman?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Colorado. He's from Colorado.
Let me say, I didn't get to say who my pick was right now out of the gates. Weirdly enough.
Yeah.
John Popper. John Popper is heavily armed.
Great pick.
He is heavily armed, and he is like a guy. He's like a woods guy. He moved like he lives like in the woods of Seattle.
Your apocalypse partner is John Popper.
Entertaining, think about this, think entertaining. About this. Well, no, you said for survival.
No, but also
in my phone.
I know.
I don't know any fucking Marines.
That is a wild. That's a terrific answer. Because it begs many questions.
Also, you get four. Live albums. In a fire,
yeah.
You get the album four any night you're around a fire. You go, can you just do the album?
I bet he lives.
You think that harmonica's not on him somewhere at all times?
It is. No,
he handed me one
for sure.
He,
no, multiple.
Yeah, multiple. Just hand them out.
I have several John Popper harmonicas, dude. Yeah.
What kind of lives are you two leading?
I worked with them on Z-Rock, and we just became buddies.
And then because he's friends with Jay, he gave me a harmonica.
Yeah.
Is he? Does he still have the same chops?
Oh yeah,
he does.
Oh, we went to go see him
didn't
in concert.
He lose a lot of weight.
Surgery.
But he didn't. Did the sound of his voice change due to that?
Not at all, dude. He's great.
Wow,
he's a really good
John
performer.
John Popper,
live.
What a good answer then.
And I'm telling you, so listen, I bet he's got a sick house. And I'm not talking about.
I bet he's got a bunker.
I bet he has a bunker. He's got a sick ass house. So before we have to worry about even making moves, which I'm sure he's got some sort of terrain or amphibious vehicle.
Yes,
but
you just get me mine. Okay,
but first of all, I'm saying we're right when we're holing up.
Yeah.
We're defended out the asshole. This guy's got arrested for like they opened his trunk and it was like a fucking John Wick movie. Remember that when he got arrested?
No, why would I remember that?
Can you bring that up, Christine?
That was like big MTV news.
Really?
News. Yeah.
This is fascinating. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had like an arsenal. They said in his fucking trunk.
Wow,
it's pretty badass.
It's badass, dude.
My thing is not, and I don't mean any offense to the person I'm going to say, but it's kind of pitiful because I was trying to think who do I know that. Camps.
That's what I said. That's what I said, Joel.
And the only person I know that is inviting me camping twice is Bobby Kelly. But it's like glamping. It's not
Please
really like...
do not put your stake your life on the wood knowledge of Bobby Kelly. I want to get him on the phone too and say that he might be your pick. Is this possible?
No, I'm changing it.
Oh.
It was going to be Bobby Kelly. Maybe it will be for comedy, but when you said one thing, it cued me. You said a bunker and stuff like that, an amphibious vehicle. And now I remembered I will be picking Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, how do you got Stone Man? You guys got such good picks.
He has so many vehicles.
Joel, I love you, but you're not John Popper or Stone Cold. Dude, that's funny if the six of us were together and he's like, I'm Sal, thanks for picking me up. Jay, John Popper, love the album. Soder, Bonfire is pretty goddamn great. Joel?
Hey, Dan, don't do this, dude. I'll tell you, that Billion's Ginger. I'm sure he's got an assistant that can start a fire or something.
Damian Lewis.
He's a good man.
Yeah. Why don't you call him for help?
Giamatti?
It's
me and Giamatti.
Remember how good the Englishmen were in Moore?
No, I don't have his number.
You don't?
No, I don't. Why? I don't ever film with Giamatti.
Yeah,
I only see him at table reads, and I'm still weird out because I'm such a big fan that you're like, hey, and he's like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm good.
Does he talk like Justin Silver?
Oh, you like dogs?
You like dogs?
I do like dogs.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Good, John. John.
I love the hold music on this thing.
Pretty badass, huh?
Yeah,
we'd like to sweeten it up. John, it's Dan Soder. We said that we brought up, like, there's one person in your phone on your contact list that you could call for help for the apocalypse, and you were Big J's choice.
You're my first choice, dude.
Well, I appreciate that. It depends what you need, but sure.
Well, I assumed you'd be able to handle all of the masculine things that I would turn I'd go like, ew, I can't do that. Like, I can't skin a deer.
I'm kind of like you, Jay. I'm sort of like make friends with a strong guy.
Oh, no.
Ooh,
I got plenty of, like, ordnance, but, you know, you just get a big strong guy to come behind me and he just take it all.
Yeah, well, we can make slaves. We can get our own, like weird, we can make Dan and people like that our slaves and make him cut things. He said he can grab
the
fish.
Guy who owns the stuff, but what does ownership mean in a dystopian future?
It's got a good. Yeah, it's a very good point. That's a very good point.
I gotta be honest, John. I thought you were gonna ready to just like. Just hunker down with me, and I thought we were going to go to your
this
place.
This is not
I assume
encouraging.
I assume your place is sick.
Well, to be fair, if you're really going to be a real, like, you know, the end of the world guy, you're not going to brag about it.
You're right. You're going to keep it real locked
right.
up.
And then everyone's showing up to your place.
Yeah, because
exactly.
you need the bunker that no one knows about. John, do you have a bunker?
As far as you know, everything in my house is covered in coronavirus.
Yeah, smart.
All you looky-loos.
You're like a halibut. You cover yourself in mucus so no one touches you.
Hide in plain sight.
Yeah.
yeah.
I pictured you have a mansion, but like you're preparing enough that even all the furniture in the mansion is made of like the buckets of like Jim Baker food. You know, he sells you food for the end of the world.
A gigantic cuckoo clock. I'm in like the world's hugest log cabin.
Dude, that'd be badass.
Yes, that's perfect.
That'd be badass if the Blues Traveler logo, the cat, you just pull one of the whiskers and it just opens up a thing into a stairwell deep into the earth.
The problem is you have to keep killing workmen who only build part of it, so no one knows exactly the extent of your bunker.
Now I truly believe you have one because you thought this out.
that was mind blowing.
There's someone who's missing a family member right now that everything just got solved.
Yeah, you know what? It could fit 15 dead migrant workers.
What you do is you have the first guy build you an oven, so then you can get rid of the bodies.
You get them to pave your driveway, and if you spread them out thin. It's like seven guys.
Damn, I love the way you think. You know what?
My mind goes non-disclosure, but it's okay.
NDA. Sal goes, I would really fuck them legally. I don't think.
It's full of protein. I mean, when the hard times come, it's not like you're eating food for flavor.
I tell you what, John, I'm gonna take this wink you're giving about all the things you don't have and skills you do not hold, and I'm just gonna still say John Popper's my number one go-to.
That's great.
You serve man. It's a cookbook. It's a cookbook. Yeah.
I'm still going with Joel.
Yeah. Dan's going with his friend Joel from high school.
There you go.
Sal picked Stone Cold.
Who had lots of livestock that you could kill and eat. I think that would be the first place I'd head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sal said his pick was Stone Cold Steve Austin out of his phone.
Oh, that's cool. See, now I'd go with that guy. I
mean, yeah.
He could lift stuff.
Oh, don't worry. I'm just going to follow him around like a lost dog. Stone Cold's going to be like, get this big-headed guy away from me. I don't like him following me down the street.
Yeah, all right. Basically, you figure in an apocalypse, you're going to try and move from one place to another, or else you're going to hunker down.
Yeah.
So where are you trying to go, or why are you trying to hunker down has got to be your question.
John, that's an excellent question. My question, I would want a bunker built into a mountain, NORAD style.
No, man. I'm telling you, me and John are holding the fort down with a bunch of heavy artillery. We're playing harmonica, telling stories by a fire.
Yeah.
We need an objective, though. I mean, if you're just endlessly holding on and you're living in a mountain, your downside is you're living in a mountain.
Isn't that pretty
John,
cool, though?
I've got so many stories, dude. I'm doing 13 hours of broadcast a week, man. I got stories for days.
If I got a generator, Jay,
and it's just you and me left, that means I have to listen to all of your broadcasts because you're making them for somebody.
Yep.
So that puts a lot of pressure on me as an audience.
It really does.
As your only demo, I now have to listen to a whole lot of your podcasts. And there's too many weapons lying around for that. Eventually, we're just going to kill each other.
Oh, I can't wait till Jay has a Wilson, but it's Lewis. You just have like a ball and like a pineapple's Dave, and then you just have like a tennis racket's me, and you're like, "Hey, what do you think?" And it's just silent, and John's watching you, and you go, "Ha, yeah, that's like fame."
I'm doing desert island broadcasting.
Yeah,
so they can give you head.
Yeah.
You want a Wilson that'll blow you.
That is true.
Not a fuckable Wilson.
Dude, that's going to be crazy.
You can fuck any volleyball you want, really.
If there is an apocalypse, then you go buy one of those sex toy, you know, like
a
with
real
a
doll might be your best bet in the apocalypse. Like, what if Tom Hanks was, like, in that same movie, only he had a real doll?
Yeah.
He'd have been arguing with it after a couple days.
He would have tried leaving the island.
Yeah, he would have gotten fed up with her eventually. I mean, you're just going to lay there again? You're just going to starfish it again?
Yeah, but then
I'm sorry, there's no other guys for you on this thing.
Hey, campers, this is DJ Lou. DJ Apprentice Lou. On Thursday's Lost Tapes, Dan and Jay came in early to tape with Dave Bird, a.k.a. Little Dicky. They talked about his new show on FX, Dave, and also about his fucked up penis.
Do you get a lot of, this must be the case, like the girls from high school that are now like, remember me from high school? Like, remember I never talked to you in high school? What's up?
Well, not really. Not really. I mean, no, because I was always like, I was always kind of like a popular like kid. Like, I just wasn't the guy that got girls. But like, I wasn't getting the women. But but they knew, like, I still was like best friends with all of them.
Yeah.
So it's like, they weren't like, there's not a situation where like people that I didn't know came and been like, hey, remember me? I think people were just happy for me.
But even the ones that were your friends, did they be like, I'm always surprised we never hooked up in high school.
There's like one or two girls that like I always like love that I've hooked up with since, and it's cool.
I was
gonna
say, you go back and conquer.
And it feels good.
Yeah, it feels good to know that like they're just going through the channels, and then FXX hits, and they're like, oh, there's Dave. Like
I'm arriving as a sexual figure.
So. Well, I think all funny guys are in the same tier in high school where you can like be friends with the guys that get girls, but you're like fourth tier where you're the ones making them laugh.
No, you gotta like, guys like us have to be like best friends with a girl for three years before they realize, wait a minute, do I like this guy?
And his job as a comedian, how many times you've just made a girl like laugh all night, so your buddy can then go, it's like, all right, we're gonna go dip off in the other room here for a minute. You're like, I guess my job's to, hey, can I play your PlayStation while you go fuck this chick?
I remember being the constant fifth wheel where they'd be like, hey, Soder's got a joint, and you'd be like smoking and making him laugh, and then like, all right, we're all gonna go fuck, and then you're like, I'm gonna go play PS2.
I was like the last guy to every single base. Like, the story of my first kiss was like, you know, I was like 13 or something, and I was like the only person of the male friend group that hadn't kissed a girl yet. Yeah. And like the girls were like, hey, kiss him. And she was like, I don't want to. And then they were like, no, you should. And then she was like, I won't really. Like, and then they were like, let's talk about it. And then went to the bathroom for 10 minutes and like talked. And then it came out and the girl was like, okay, I'll kiss you. Like, that was
they did a gathering convention? Up all their money or something. Yeah, there you go. Like, look,
they're just
empty your pockets, everybody.
Like war generals around a table of a map. And like, you kiss him, we can dominate.
I just remember the tongue. Couldn't believe that. I mean, I felt a little disgusting. If you like, it felt like bizarre to touch tongues with someone. Now I like it. Now I like French kissing.
Around to it?
At the time, it was jarring. It was just too much.
That would be the headline of this interview. It would be Dave enjoys French kissing now. Yeah. And you'd be like, what a sensual guy.
Yeah.
I almost the same exact story. I was like 13 and I was the guy. I hung out with all the bad kids that were like doing cool shit.
Yeah.
And I was just the one that was like scared to do that stuff.
Yeah.
Also known as a pussy in middle school. But, when I got my first kiss with like the girl I was dating, it was just at a park in front of a playground, and it was just like a quick smash in, and then walked away. And I told my best friend, I was like, did you see me get some? Yeah. And he was like, you didn't get some. And
I got my first hand job at a park.
Hey.
And I came into the ground.
Like up and into the ground or down, shot into the ground?
What if you went back now and there was a tree?
A beautiful willow.
I was like a senior in high school getting my first hand job.
Just getting popped off in the park?
Because I have a fucked up dick, so I was like very like insecure about it.
What do you mean? Like,
what's wrong with it?
Oh my God, so much.
Like what? Really?
Are you doing like structural damage? I do this in my life too. Do you oversell the negative? So when you put out, they go, it's not bad.
I think I've learned that like women like don't, they don't really know, like, it's all a dick to, like, the end of the day.
But,
like, I could pull, like, YouTube guys aside and show you, and you'd be on the ground hysterically crying, laughing at the things I could show you about my dick.
Oh, like the different functions, like an iPhone?
It's just...
What, do you got a wonky circumcision?
First off, I came out of the womb, I had a tangled urethra. They had to immediately do emergency surgery to, like, fix my, like, save my dick.
In the show.
Yeah, everything in the show. Yeah, all this stuff. And so, yeah. My dick, you know, watch the show to find out the info.
To get the full dossier on your fucked up dick.
But so that's like, you know, that was always so I would be scared to, like, I remember the first time I had sex.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh my God, I'm having sex. My thought was like, oh my God, your dick functions.
Yeah.
Like, you have a functioning dick. Like, it can work and go in a girl and like not like break. I thought my dick would like break.
I'm surprised. usually
I can fuck.
Yeah.
Usually thin Jewish kids in my neighborhood have big hammers.
Yep.
Well, I have like honestly, my girth is rock solid.
Okay.
I've measured everything. So I have a 90th percentile girth, if you do.
Wow.
But 10th percentile length.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So 50th percentile dick, but then we take into account all like the.
You're a power hitter.
Yeah. I come in, and, yeah, I'm doubles and homers.
He's just fucking, he's dropping at the warning track every time.
A lot of strikeouts.
Has a woman, upon first seeing it, had a highly negative reaction?
No, the only time any girl's ever, like, noticed anything was the first time I ever showed it to a girl. And that, so that was really scarring.
Yeah, because it's coming out.
She was like, wait, isn't... And then I was just like, oh, no.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. Yeah, that's got to be hard, especially on the first showing.
I used to be, you know, incredibly... like controlling the lighting at all times. Like, I would like be dating girls for years without them even knowing they haven't even seen my dick, because I was just like maniacal in terms of like the lighting. And like when I'd walk out of a room, I'd be like, all right, I'll catch you later.
Oh, I'm with you.
I'd like turn with my, you know, then it's like you got to pick like back acne or fucked up dick. Like,
how are you going to light this thing? You're just in a room. Like,
I swear to you, if I felt like my dick had the length enough to really just pull out of a zipper, I would do that. But it's part of the insecurity is that I'd be like,
you go full bodysuit?
Yeah, you're going to get that zipper inside of you before my dick buries in.
Oh yeah, I could never fuck a through a zipper. Yeah, right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's why I've always been intrigued by porn videos, car blowjobs. I couldn't imagine. That seems like it would be like impossibly uncomfortable.
When I'm like this, if I had a boner, it's like.
Yeah,
it's 2 inches long. You have to like just lick the. You should lick it like it's like it's a thing on a surface.
It would almost be like you were having a like a fucking pig in a blanket with Jean on your face.
Yeah.
Would be the only way.
Yeah, I feel like she'd be trying to. It's like with everything to pull it to get out of my zipper, and then my belly would be pushing her head into the horn.
Dude, I don't think girls can understand that if you're sitting as a man, you can make your dick disappear into you.
Oh, it's like really? I can't like if it, like even sex from the side. Like when I try to fuck from the side, I like lose my whole dick.
Yeah.
Like my balls, like.
This is my girlfriend, Christine. We've had this argument plenty of times. She's told me stories in the past. She goes, and then the guy just woke up in the morning and started having sex with me sideways. I really like that. She's given a lot of hints to how much she likes that for 9 years. And I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah. It's beyond my capabilities.
There's nothing worse than like trying a sexual position only to realize you can't do it because your dick's not long enough. Like, there's no worse feeling.
Okay, stop. Yeah. You got to shut it down. Stop.
Or how about a girl... wildly and frivolously riding on top of you.
I don't think I've ever felt comfortable like that.
You start feeling like she's getting up. You're like, you're going to come off this thing and break it in half when you crash your taint down on it.
My dick is made of like minced meat. I need like very slow, delicate sex.
Yeah, I almost helicopter parent a girl when she's riding me where I'm like, watch out. No, be careful.
Have you heard there was a UFC fighter whose boner snapped in half?
Yeah, I saw that. We've seen broken dick stuff
before. There's like a trail of blood to the... I interviewed him after, and he's like, "Yeah, man. Like, it's like, yeah, she must have. His quote was, she must have gone higher than 8.5 inches." And
he still gives his big dick.
You deserve to have your boner.
Man, that girl has ups. Yeah. I gotta tell you, because
I think she was standing up and then came right back down on it.
Girl getting loose on top is a scary one for me. I always get very hands on her thighs.
I hold them.
It's like, no, do the thing where you just move your butt forward and back.
Yeah, that's
all this crazy. What are you trying to put? Somebody filming us from behind?
I need you to dog scoot on my butt.
I like the less movement, the better. Like I could just like lie and just be still.
Dude, you're a soaker.
Not even moving, just sit there. And that's like my dream.
Do you want to soak?
Yeah.
That's what the Mormon kids do. Yeah, so they don't lose their religion. So they don't lose their ticket to heaven.
And, and if you could just cough twice in 10 minutes, I'll be done.
Yeah. There you go. I love you. Just soaking it in. Just a nice hot tub soak.
Hey, this is Big J Okerson, and I hope you enjoyed this week's Best of the Bonfire. You can listen to the show live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Be sure to follow us on social media, at The Bonfire SXM.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.